I'm looking forward to Halloween. Man, I love it because I'm big now and I can beat up kids and get their candy. What? Because when I was small, I almost died trick-or-treating. I almost died trick-or-treating because I had asthma. And you know your parents buy you that cheap mask? The cheap plastic one? You can barely breathe in it? And that band in the back of your head making you bleed through your skull? And you know they can't hear you saying trick-or-treat. And how much air did they give us in the mask, that little slot? And you stick your tongue through. And then you would cut your tongue because that was razor sharp. And they say it's that razors and the apples. No, it's your mask!
WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining me here on this Friday, the Ides of March. You know what happened in the Ides of March? In ancient Rome on this day? Julius Caesar got it in the back. The entire Roman Senate had knives and they stabbed him, every one of them. Happened on the Ides of March, March 15th. So, watch your back today.
Wow.
You don't want history to repeat itself.
Right.
Careful. Evelyn Garcia is here, business manager for the Racine Public Library. Thank you for coming in this morning, by the way. I appreciate it. We were listening about those Halloween masks. I mean, they are so true. You put those things that you can't breathe in them, for one thing. They give you two little dots to breathe out of it. If your nose doesn't line up with those dots, forget it. And that little tiny hole by the mouthpiece, people have stuck their tongue, and then they get their tongue stuck in there, and they can't get it out. You have any good Halloween stories when you were a kid?
No, I do not. I don't even have good Halloween stories for my children. So, no, I don't.
When I was a trick-or-treater in New York, we allowed trick-or-treating started the minute you woke up in the morning and ended when you went to sleep at night. There were no hours. You just trick-or-treated all day long. And if it was a weekend, whoa. But if it was a weekday, you trick-or-treated on the way to school. When you got out, you trick-or-treated till midnight. There was this woman in our block one year. She was giving out apples.
Okay.
But we had paper bags, and she dropped the apple right through the bottom. Now all my candy fell out. I felt like saying, hey, stupid. Look what you did to my bag. So now I had to gather it up, put it in my pockets, go home, get another bag. We had a guy in our block who worked for Nabisco, and he got all the expired boxes of cookies, and he had boxes of them in his living room up to the ceiling, and he handed out full boxes of Oreo cookies and all these Nabisco cookies. And, you know, look back now and say, well, they were expired. Who cares? They were Oreo cookies. So they were expired. That's how we got them. They were going to throw them out, so we gave them to us instead. Then there was the person in the neighborhood. Here's a penny for you. Here's a penny for you. What am I going to do with a penny? You can't do anything with a penny. What are you going to do with it? They gave those out. And the most horrible thing that ever happened in my life, I was Count Dracula one year. I had the cape and everything. And it was a cold day. My mother made me wear a winter jacket over my costume. So now you couldn't see anything. She said, well, you know what's under there. I said, but you can't see. And I had this great Dracula cape and the Dracula thing on my head and all this stuff. And I had to wear a winter coat. And so I went around trick-or-treating, and people said, who are you? I said, I'm Dracula. You don't look like Dracula. Thanks, Mom. Scarred for... That was when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I never forgot that. My mother used to bring up to me all the time, all these things I did, you never forgot them? No, Mom, I never forgot them. Scarred for life. You maybe wear that coat over my Dracula costume.
You were a warm Dracula.
Yeah, but I didn't want to be warm. I wanted to be Dracula. And she said, well, it's cold outside. This is one of the things she did to me real quick. I got to get this off my chest. I was in one 4th of July parade in my life. You ever see the movie Born on the 4th of July with Tom Cruise? He played a guy named Ron Kovic in that movie, Born on the 4th of July. It opens up with a 4th of July parade in Massapequa, where Ron Kovic lived right near our house. And it opened up with the 4th of July parade. I was in that 4th of July parade 1 year. Not the one in the movie, but I was in it. And it was in Little League. And the Little League was the last thing in the parade. And they did it according to standings in the parade. And so our team was last because the coach had his son pitch and he couldn't pitch. So we were last. And then they did from smallest to tallest, and I was the tallest. So I was the last person in the entire 2.5 hour parade. Now, all the kids were wearing jeans and their baseball shirts. My mother made me wear dress slacks, dress shoes, and a dress shirt. I mean, I looked like the business manager for the Little League, like I was their accountant. I was doing the kids' taxes. They made me dress up like, I never forgot that either. Isn't that funny? And she made me, I went on a camping trip, my only camping trip up to Bear Mountain in upstate New York once. She made me wear, in my knapsack, she put dress shoes and dress slacks and a dress shirt. Where'd you think I was going? Out to a wedding or some kind of event up there? I was going camping in the woods. And she put that stuff in the bag. And when I opened it up, I said, what am I going to do with dress shoes up here? I'm in the woods in the middle of nowhere. I love my mom, but I remember those things. My mother once said to me after I brought it up, she said, I was such a terrible parent. I said, well, you were. You made me wear dress slacks in the 4th of July parade. Love my mother. Ready for some news headlines?
Sure.
Okay, and then we'll talk more about the library. Took about an hour to clean up after a crash at Green Bay Road and 165 in Kenosha County last night. 4 people injured in a 2-car collision at around 9 p.m. Pleasant Prairie police say a northbound Toyota Corolla failed to yield to a southbound Jeep while attempting to turn onto 165. The crash resulted in injuries to the Corolla's driver and 2 passengers. A passenger in the Jeep also suffered suspected broken ribs. It's a noon start for Racine's St. Patrick's Day Parade tomorrow. Over 2,000 people are part of the procession that starts at State Street and Main in the downtown area. The floats, dance troops, and community organizations will go south on Main, making a turn onto 6th Street and end up near City Hall. Parking is available at the Lake Avenue ramp, Civic Center ramp, or at the, M-Y-N-N, how do you pronounce it? McMahon? Anyway, there's another ramp. You ever see the movie Animal House?
No.
No. There's a big parade, and the guys from Animal House redirect the parade down a dead-end street. So they're all walking into this wall, and they keep going and going. There's more people piling up into the wall. That's what I picture when I think of parades. And don't be alarmed by activity in Gateway and Kenosha tomorrow. The school is hosting a simulated disaster training event starting at 8 a.m. Officials say the simulation will enable students from various programs to apply their acquired skills in a series of training activities centered around a simulated gas leak crisis scenario. The students will practice triage care, coordinating with emergency service personnel, and prioritizing patient safety. Those are the stories. Stuart J. Waddles in our news center is watching for us this morning. He'll have updates throughout the day along with other news stories right here at WRJN Radio. Talk about the renovation of the library. Now, I hate to say it, but you guys took advantage of COVID when the library was closed. I hate to say perfect timing. It was perfect timing. And you renovated the library. Beautiful renovation. If you haven't gone in there in the last year or so, and a lot of people haven't, I mean, it's just gorgeous in there now. You guys built new things all over the place.
That is correct. So the second floor now has a teen room and has also the innovation lab. And we also added 2 study rooms. And we have the business Center, who is also up for rent, and people can come and have their gatherings there. And we also have the, there is another room. I'm trying to think what it's called. I can't think of the name right now, but there is also another room up there that allows you to come in and do like all your homework, has printers, has stations so that you can just bring in your laptops. So yeah, so we have two new rooms. We also have the BBC collection. I don't know if you've heard. So the BBC collection is Books and Beyond. And so that's where we have like sewing machines. We've got, I'm trying to think what else we have. We've got puzzles. We've got Nintendo games. We've got...
I know, this isn't just books anymore.
Nope, it's not. It's not. And this summer, just this last summer, we have Seed at the library. So we have like a, on the second floor, we have a station where people can come in and grab their seeds to grow their stuff. And here in the
real
future,
seeds.
Yes, real seeds, real seeds. You can come in and get your packets.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and in the future, we are having a tower garden once we are up and running, where you can come in, and I'm not sure what it's going to entail, but at least we'll have a tower garden that will allow you to grow your seeds.
And you also were giving out park passes, state park passes.
Yes, yes.
Are you doing that again this year?
I am not sure. I am unsure. I haven't heard.
That was great. Yeah. You get so much stuff. You walk into the library and you don't really realize all the free. First of all, everything is free there, but you don't realize the free giveaways you guys do all the time there.
Yes.
And plus, if you don't get their newsletter, you should, because it just details everything in those newsletters. Who puts that together? They do a nice job on it.
So that would be the marketing team. Which,
wow, looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. Head of business development. So they put that together.
Well, in the next break, I want to talk about where the money is going that you raise. It's back to fundraising and how people can donate. Because you don't have to donate, but, you know, this is your public library. And, you know, make it grow. I mean, it's for your kids and for you and, you know, the future. And I used to spend every day at the library. When it was right near my house, so I was able to do it. But I still love going there. Plus, you know what's really neat? If you want to grab a book or something, a magazine, you can sit in these nice chairs overlooking Lake Michigan. The picture windows cover the lake.
Yes.
It's so relaxing.
The view is beautiful.
Yeah, you'd go there, you unwind, you'd be stressed, and there's no charge to get in. That's the best part of all. All right, going to be sunny today. It's going to be beautiful over those picture windows as watching over Lake Michigan today. Highs near 45 degrees, a clear sky tonight, lows 38. Right now, partly cloudy, 36 degrees. Don't forget, the Badgers take on the Wildcats. Wisconsin versus Northwestern, 12:30 today here at WRJM. 722 at WRJN Radio, hometown radio refresh to Civic Media Station. Evelyn Garcia, who's the business manager for the Racine Public Library. I didn't know this, but you could rent rooms out at the library.
That is correct. So we have a couple of different rooms that if you have a meeting, if you're planning a meeting, you want a space, just give us a call at 636-9170 and to book a room.
And if people want to donate to the library, they can do that as well.
Most definitely.
How do you do that?
So you can go online at racinepubliclibrary.info, or you can go to our paypal.com and donate money through there. So we do have QR codes throughout the library so that you can just scan it. And you're just right into our page.
I am so out of the loop on QR codes. In the movie theaters now, sometimes they'll put a QR code on the screen. It's the only time you can bring your phone out. And people hold it up. I see all these phones come out. They hold it up to the screen. You get the website automatically shows up on there. So if I donate, where does the money go? What do you do with it?
So we have different things that we assign donations to. We have helped. So the money goes to the foundation. Our foundation is considered a 501c3. And this foundation supplements the library's tax funding. And we help fund some programs like the Techmobile.
What's that?
The Techmobile is it's a smaller version of the Bookmobile. I don't know if you're familiar with the Bookmobile.
Sure. Yeah.
So the Techmobile is pretty much a smaller version and has all the technology. So that Techmobile can be booked and it can go to your event. So Melissa Donaldson, who you've had here in the past, is the one that handles the Techmobile. We've also helped out with the summer reading programs. We helped out with the second floor staircase. And trainings, technology. So anything that's a higher level type of contribution that is needed to supplement our city's funding, that's what the foundation is there for.
You have people leaving stuff in their wills?
Yes. So we have something like if there's bequest, so if people leave trust funds, then we just continue to manage those and use the income to whatever specifics the will says.
You know, I already notified the library. I will be leaving something. Now, I don't have wealth. I can't leave you my rubies and my emeralds, which I don't have. But I do have a DVD Blu-ray collection that is just superb. And what I have in there is every movie that was ever released in the process of Cinerama, including all the travelogues that became available. And these are the travelogues that were shot and filmed with three projectors at one time. And it was shown on a Cinerama screen. I think the closest Cinerama theater had was Southgate here. It was a big 150-degree curved screen. And back in the late 50s, early 60s, they showed movies like 2001, A Space Odyssey, and Cinerama, and all these big movies. But the travelogues were done with three projectors. How the West Was Won was one of the three projector films. And I have in the Smile Vision all the Cinerama, every Cinerama film that was ever made in a Blu-ray DVD collection, even some of the ones that are out of print now. And I said to the library, when I go, you get them. The only thing you can't have is my son wants my movie Let It Be, the Beatle movie. Okay. It was released by United Artists back in 1970 and was put on CBS Fox Video, Magnetic Home Video put it out until Yoko Ono put the brakes on it because she said, you don't have the rights to put that music out. So they stopped. So whatever copies went out there in the early 80s, I got one. I bought it on eBay. It's in the original box and I have it. And my son said, I want it. I said, all right, you can have that one. Everything else goes to the library if they want it. I'll let them pick and choose. So you got another minute here. Tell people what you need from them if it comes to funding. We've got the food trucks. Let's do a wrap-up for people that are just joining us here now. So if you have to talk to anybody right now and you want them to donate to the library and help out, tell them again how they can do it.
Sure. So this can be done in different forms. You can come in, do your donation in person, use one of our QR codes, go online at racinelibrary.info. I lost it, right? It's like, oh my
God. Too many to remember.
Yes. So racinelibrary.info, click donations, and any little contribution helps. Like I said, we do take living trust. We do beneficiaries of your retirements, IRAs, required minimum distributions towards at the end of the year. So anything that you want to leave us, it's fine. We do have different levels of contributions. We have, if you want a room named under you, you can give us a $25,000 donation. And then we have a study room that will be named Don Rosen.
The Don Rosen Lavatory.
There you go.
I kind of like the sound of that.
Yes. So there you go.
Where are you going? I'm going to the Rosen. I got a stomach ache. I'll be back in a few minutes. I have to go to the Rosen. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Well, this is just great. And again, the Rough Readers Program. Let's talk about that real quickly here. What do we have?
Sure. So for the Rough Readers Program, we have Monday through Thursday, and those are it's geared for kindergartners through fifth graders. And the program runs from 4 p.m. to 4:45, 15-minute intervals. And if you'd like to book a session, call 636-9217 and come and meet one of our Rough pals. We've got 8 to choose from.
Now, if somebody wants to bring their dog in, to be read to, they can do that too?
That is correct. They can call us at 636-9251. And if they have a therapy certified dog, we can get them on the rosters.
Well, that's just great. The latest, the greatest, the library, the public library. They're so lucky to have you.
Well,
this is
you.
Excellent. You're such a good person to be working at the library because you care. I mean, that's the one thing you got to have at a job like this. You got to care about it. It's not like you go into an office job every day. You got to care about these because you're dealing with the public.
That is correct.
That's one job I've never had in my life. I never had to deal with the public.
It's actually pretty nice. I mean, you get to meet the community and meet the community needs. So that's
I'd last about 9 seconds if I had to deal with the public. Evelyn Garcia, the business manager from the library, you will be back here next month.
That is correct.
And hopefully you'll get those food trucks lined up.
Yes, I hope so. So give us a call, schedule a date in. And
if you've got a food truck or you know somebody with one, call the library, all right? Got to get out there. Plus, you'll make a lot of money, and it's rent-free. They're not going to charge you to be there, which is pretty good. Thank you very much, Evelyn.
Thank you.
Evelyn Garcia. Coming up, we're talking movies with Brent Hoffman from Marcus Theaters. We're going to find out how he did with the Oscar picks. I don't think he did that well. At WRJ, and I'm Don Rosen. Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters is here. And good morning, Brett. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
All right. We're going to see how great you did at your Oscar picks. And before we get to the new movies, let's talk about the Oscar picks because I can't remember some of these movies you said. All right. Best picture you picked was Oppenheimer. You were correct there, right?
Yep.
Best animated feature. Now, I know you said the Spider-Verse movie, but you also said you have a good shot at The Boy and the Heron, and that came out the winner. Was that a big surprise?
Yeah, well, I think it was a surprise to many. Like, it was a surprise to me because I thought The Boy and the Heron was, it's a 2023 Japanese animated film. It's produced by Studio Ghibli, which is one of the gold standards in terms of anime films. And I actually think this is remarkable because it got exposure to the anime genre, which is growing and growing and growing. And I think that says that anime is here to stay, and we're going to see a lot more of it on the big screen coming up. So this was kind of groundbreaking to see it win. But hats off to everyone at Studio Ghibli and The Boy and the Heron. Of course, I thought Spider-Man, and Spider-Verse were going to win, but hey, Boy and Heron is a very good film to check out as well.
Every one of those characters in every anime film looks exactly the same. They got the same eyes, the same face, and they never change. It's just like one face fits all for those anime movies. They never change. And I have anime features at home from Mizoraki. What's his name? I forget the name of the movie I have at home. It's a really good one. I think it won an Oscar for something. Anyway, they all look the same. All right, best director, Christopher Nolan. You picked that, right? Oppenheimer?
That's right.
All right, now, we just read yesterday, his take from that movie is up to $100 million. His personal take, that's what it is, $100 million in his pocket from that movie. Best actor, you picked that. Cillian Murphy, but you also were thinking that maybe Paul Giamatti.
Well, I think he gave him a dark horse chance. I think everyone thought that Robert Downey Jr. would win, and he has. And again, if you haven't seen Oppenheimer, we have it at some of our screens this weekend. You really need to go see it on the big screen. I realize it's streaming. I realize it's out there. But people really need to see Oppenheimer. This is a special picture that Chris Nolan basically meant for the big screen. And Robert Downey Jr. was one of the things in the movie that made it just extra special. So go check out Oppenheimer on the big screen.
Now, here's one everybody got wrong. Best actress. Everybody was thinking it would be Lily Gladstone for the Martin Scorsese film. What's the name of that
Killers film? Killers of the Flower Moon.
I don't know why it went out of my head there. Anyway, Killers of the Flower Moon, but it wasn't. It was Emma Stone for Poor Things, but you also liked that movie. You said that's got a good shot at it.
Well, yeah, I thought Poor Things, if Oppenheimer was not going to win, I thought Poor Things may have a dark horse chance to win. Of course, for me, this is more of a coin flip. I picked Lily Gladstone, but it could have easily gone to Emma Stone, and sure enough, the Academy voted for Emma Stone. A tremendous performance in Poor Things. If you've seen the movie, you know exactly why she had the award. I think it was a great performances by both actresses, Lily and Emma here, and Emma did deserve it, so we'll see that. But, of course, Lily was right in that running as well.
Best supporting actor, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer. I think a lot of people picked him. He was very good. He played that senator. He was only in the black and white scenes in the movie. He was never, because he was in the documentary footage is
exactly
what they were showing. Yeah, so he was very good, and he looked great at the Oscars, and they made mention to his jail term for drugs and everything. But there's a guy that, you know, a lot of people go to prison if they're actors. They never come back out of it again. This guy has done better than ever since he came out of prison with all the movies he's been making. So kudos to Robert Downey Jr. He is a treasure in the acting community. Best supporting actress, Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. They say she's a knockout in that film.
Spectacular film. Again, Paul Giamatti does a great job, but really, Divine Joy Randolph, a very special role here. The film is very delicate. It's a great drama about different people at different stages of their lives. You know, she is working with Paul Giamatti. They're both employees, but they're kind of stuck in this area or this, you know, this boarding school where everyone has left except for a few kids and them. And it's really up to them to kind of help out and determine some paths and give some guidance to these young individuals and grow themselves as well. So I think it's a powerful movie. Check out The Holdovers, and Divine Joy Randolph surely deserved this one.
Now, The Last Repair Shop was the best documentary short subject, and I believe it has some kind of ties to Wisconsin, and I can't remember. I remember they were talking about it, and I got to look it up. The Last Repair Shop, it took place out in California, but somebody who made the movie has a tie to Wisconsin. I got to look that up. Best documentary feature, 20 Days in Mariupol, which is the story about the war going on now in, my mind is just out of it this morning. The war going on in with Russia and
Ukraine.
Why couldn't I think of it? What's going on? I think too much lemonade this morning. But the biggest shocker of the night, after 70 years of being snubbed by the Academy, finally Godzilla wins an Academy Award. 70 years since 1954, no recognition from the Academy. And finally, after all those years, 70 years, Godzilla wins an Oscar for special effects, I think it was.
Yeah, one of the tech here, the best visual effects is the official title for that one. And man, did it deserve it. I mean, here is a film that came out from overseas that I don't think anyone was expecting. It snuck in there at the end of last year. And man, this is a fun movie. If you haven't seen Godzilla Minus One, go check it out. And, of course, we've got another Godzilla movie coming out. It comes out in 2 weeks. Godzilla X Kong is coming out, and that's going to be spectacular as well. But this one was really neat because it was off everyone's radar. Here it comes from overseas, and what a powerful picture. In fact, if you saw, it was really neat what the producers of this film did. I mean, they had Godzilla action figures. If you looked at their shoes, they actually wore shoes with Godzilla claws on them, which was really neat.
Yeah, they all came up with little baby Godzillas in their hand. And I felt terrible for the guy accepting the award. He didn't speak English, and he was trying to read off a piece of paper. He was so excited. He was trembling. He couldn't believe it, and he couldn't get that speech out. But it didn't matter because you could see in his eyes and the way he was talking. He was so excited to win this thing. But yeah, they all had claws on their shoes. They get little baby Godzillas with them. So, and good for them. And I found out, I looked up what Godzilla minus one actually means. And it comes from the fact that after World War II, when they leveled Japan, Japan was at zero. Morality-wise, everything, they were at zero. And then right after World War II, Godzilla came out and brought it even lower to below zero, which was minus one. That's where Godzilla minus one comes from. And I always like that line, Godzilla was up for an Academy Award, and so was its prequel, Oppenheimer. Because when you think about it, there'd be no Godzilla if there was no Oppenheimer, because he came from the atomic weapons of World War II. That's where he got his fire radioactive breath from. So those were the Oscars. I noticed something, and they probably changed it years ago, and I just noticed it. There's no more Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film. It's called International Film now. They dropped the foreign language film. Did you notice that?
You know, I didn't, but that's interesting you brought it up, because now that you mention it, that is kind of unique.
Yeah, it used to be Best Foreign Language Film. Now it's Best International Film. Just getting more PC at the Academy Awards. What do you think of the presentation?
I thought the presentation was really, you know what I really liked about it? It started early. It started this time at 6 p.m.
No, it started at 6:05.
Ah, okay.
They had difficulty, and they couldn't start it on time. Even Jimmy Kimmel made note of that. He said, we started a little late. They were running all these promos and public service announcements on Channel 12 where I was watching it, and it just wasn't starting. And I said to my wife, they're 5 minutes after 6. So it did start late. But anyway, yeah, go ahead. Started an hour
early. Well, either way, we saw this end a little after 9 or so, which I thought was perfect timing for this. I thought it was great time. So I really enjoyed how they swept it along. They kept it going. In terms of how memorable it was, I would say I think it was the pictures themselves are memorable, and they let them have the stars. We didn't have any outrageous moments, which is good. There was no Will Smith moment. There was nothing like that, which is something that was refreshing this time around. That it was a celebration about movies. We celebrated them, and I thought the time change was just excellent in terms of how they started that out.
And so, I thought the visuals on stage, the way they changed the lighting of the entire stage depending on what the mood was, I thought that was great. I thought the when they put the category, whatever they did electronically to put it in that round thing over the stage was perfect. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a good job. And I did find out two things they lied to us about at the Oscars. Remember that dog, Messi, that was in the audience? Remember they showed the dog sitting there? He wasn't there. What they did was they filmed that prior to the Oscars the day before with people just filling out the seats. And they filmed that the day before, and they just ran it to make it look like he was there, but he wasn't there. And John Cena, remember he was naked? He wasn't naked. He wore a like a thong.
Yeah, he had some new cover-ups there that
because
he was wearing. Yeah.
They showed a behind-the-scenes thing when he's walking off stage with his butt sticking out with the thong on it. But still, that was... I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a good job. They say it's very hard for a host to host that thing because he's got to tell all his jokes up front when everybody's receptive and in a good mood. As the show goes on, the audience is filling up with losers, people that aren't that receptive anymore. They don't want to laugh because they just lost. So he said they don't have as much jokes as the show goes on. That's a tough thing to host a show like that. You know, you got to keep it funny, topical. Luckily, there are people like Steven Spielberg in the audience that are good sports about it, and they can make fun of them. You know, they just, you know, I like that line about Spielberg. Why are you here? What do you have, like a season pass?
Yeah, you know, my only other comment is, so Pacino gets up there and he doesn't read the nominees for Best Picture, and I'm thinking about this. How many times have they had mistakes here on this biggest award of the night wouldn't this be an award that you'd rehearse a little bit? Wouldn't this be something that you'd practice and make sure everyone knows what they're doing? So that was the most interesting part, is how anticlimactic that was when he just got out the envelope and read the name. So
what new movies you got coming out this weekend?
Well, there's one big new movie, and it's going to be a neat one. It stars Mark Wahlberg, and it is called Arthur the King. It is about an endurance racer who, along his race, finds and adopts this dog, Arthur. And Arthur comes along with him in this epic adventure and endurance race. So it's Mark Wahlberg. The movie is Arthur the King. It's a great movie with a dog. Don't worry, the dog does not pass away in the movie.
I was about to say that. Yeah, I don't want to see any movies where dogs get hurt.
I always preset that for people, saying, go in, it's an enjoyable movie, go take a look at it. People are going to enjoy this one. It's Arthur the King. And also, I mean, look at the other movies we've got. I mean, if you have not seen Dune Part 2, it is spectacular on screen. You need to see it there. And I'll tell you, last week, there's a movie that surprised everyone in terms of what it ended up doing at the box office. It smashed all expectations, and it was Kung Fu Panda 4. Jack Black came out with that Kung Fu Panda 4, and not only did families go see it, but adults went and saw this movie. I saw it. It's got spectacular humor for both adults and kids. So Kung Fu Panda 4 as an animated feature is on screen as well and should do tremendously this weekend.
But no pandas get hurt in the movie, right?
No real pandas were hurt in the filming of Kung Fu Panda 4.
Remember that movie Marley and Me?
Yes, it was a hit during the holiday season.
But
yeah.
The dog didn't do well in the film, and I sat there crying when I watched it at home, and I was crying my eyes out because I didn't want to go to a theater to see it because I knew I'd be crying in the theater and scaring people and making them upset, but I probably couldn't be the only person. Anytime there's a dog or an animal in the film, my wife won't go see it because she says, I don't want to see any animals hurt. Well, obviously they don't get hurt in real life, but still, it's, you know, nobody wants to see an animal hurt, especially a dog or a cat or something like that. Even I don't want to see horses hurt. I don't want to see any animals hurt. Anyway, Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters, you did pretty well at the Oscars. Even the ones you got wrong, you said, well, it may be this film instead. It's like covering your bets. In Vegas, the maybes don't pay off. It's the final picks that pay off. Thank you very much, my friend. We'll do it again next Friday, huh?
We'll do so, Dan. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you. Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters. Go see a movie, all right? 7:49 coming up next. Mike Clemens, we're talking sports here at WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. At WRJN Radio, and Mike Clemens is here. We're going to talk sports right now, local sports, find out what's going on in the world. We're going to kick it off with the Packers. Even though the Packers, the season's off, we still have some Packer news for you, and we're not talking about Aaron Rodgers, who is now embroiled in controversy, but we'll talk about the Packers themselves, the people who are playing today. And what do we have, Mike?
Well, free agency has kicked off this week, Don, and the Packers lost Aaron Jones, their running back. Actually, last week, Aaron has taken some pay cuts over the years, and then last year he missed about six or seven games and was sort of 50-50 coming back from some of them. Started out the season with a torn hamstring at the end of the Bears game. It looked tremendous in the month of December, but when he came back, he made $11 million last year. He took a pay cut there, and he and his famous agent came in last week, and the Packers said, yeah, okay, listen, let's make it $6 million this year. And they said, this is crazy. And then by the end of the week, there was an impasse, and the Packers said, okay, well, we've got a plan B here. So they told him, we're going to let you go. As much as they appreciated him, Brian Gutekunst, the GM, just a month ago when we were in Indianapolis, called him the heartbeat of the team. But they let Aaron know that they were going to move on. And sure enough, when the negotiations started Monday afternoon, first thing they did was they got through to the running back of the Raiders, Josh Jacobs, who's like a three-year younger version of Aaron Jones. He's 26 years old, and he agreed to a four-year deal, $48 million. And, you know, I think Aaron was probably upset, disappointed. They called around, and I think the first offer they got was the Minnesota Vikings, who does this all the time. They get just every year. As a matter of fact, as soon as the Vikings signed him, they let go their defensive lineman, Dean Lowry, who they picked up from the Packers last year. So the Vikings always like to take former Packers. As a lot of people saw that as, well, Aaron Jones just said, I'll show you. And it's like, nah, I'll bet you that was the first and best offer he could get. So they're going to pay him $7 million, about $1 million more than the Packers said that they're willing to. The good news is last night we learned that A.J. Dillon, the veteran, Quadzilla, the guy with the big thighs, you've seen him before, big quads, he's agreed to come back on. It's called a four-year qualifying deal, but really it's more of a one-year prove-it deal. He'll come back for sort of the league minimum for a fifth-year veteran, about $1.2 to $1.4 million. But at least you'll have that guy in camp to help out with Jacobs, and you'll have a great backfield with those two.
So, excuse me a second here. So, while we're on the topic of football, very quickly here, Aaron Rodgers, Vice President of the United States, where'd that come from? That came out of left field, didn't it?
One day last fall, while he was rehabbing the torn Achilles, and he lives in Malibu, about midday on a Friday, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who, you know, announced he was running for president last year, posted a picture, lovely lunch here in Santa Monica, because he lives in Santa Monica, with Aaron Rodgers. And it's like, okay, so that's fine, you know. And but as you know, the Kennedy family have all said, we love our brother, but he's nuts. He's nuts. That means they've sat down and done video interviews and saying he's out there. You know, he's against vaccinations and this kind of thing. So you listen to him, and he's very interesting, and he's you know, well versed and knows the government inside and out, and he's been an attorney all these years. But this week he turns around and says, "Yeah, I'm thinking about either Aaron Rodgers or Jesse Ventura as my running mate."
So, I know. Well, at least Jesse Ventura was a governor.
And how did that work out? So anyway, you know, this might be what the Kennedy family is talking about. You know, and as for him, he's probably looking for someone who's not in politics and smart and intelligent and all those kinds of things, and maybe viewed as an outsider or whatever. But whatever, his short list became public. I don't know if Aaron's sort of a victim of that, or I imagine Aaron approved that. Yeah, you can put my name on the list. But this has to be driving the New York Jets crazy, because they've waited for him all year. They paid him through last year. And if he's not going to come back to play quarterback, their plans are a mess.
Do you know, a little trivia here I read the other day, there's never been an NFL football score ending in 7-0? Isn't that hard to believe?
Really?
Yeah, isn't that hard to believe?
That's got to drive the odds makers nuts. By the way, one last thing.
Yeah.
You know when there was that thing where, you know, Trump was saying, fire the SOBs, fire NFL players?
Yeah.
If they were going to take a knee during the national anthem, which I never quite understood, because there was like 79,000 of us standing there with our hearts on over our head, and one guy takes a knee, and that's what he got upset about. But anyway, Aaron Rodgers, well, you know, a lot of people were backing up, though, saying, hey, the player's got a right to his beliefs, right? And then people say, well, you know, Aaron, there's a lot of fans that say, oh, please, please don't talk politics. Just stick to sports. Stick to sports. And his reply was very smart. He said, you know what? Sports and politics are a lot closer than you think. And when you think about it, he's right, because it's a hot-button issue. People love to argue about either sports, or they love to argue about politics, and it gets people's juices going. And he's right. They really are closer than you think.
Okay, let's talk about the Badgers. They move ahead now in the Big Ten tournament. We'll take on Northwestern, the Wildcats, this afternoon here on WRJN at 12:30. They're just mowing down the competition.
Yeah, well, they had a good win yesterday. They won by 31 points over Maryland, and they had 16 three-pointers, so they looked fresh. a lot of the commentators, though, not pointing out that Maryland had just played the night before. I mean, they'd played less than 24 hours before beating Rutgers to get there, but that should be good. And then Marquette's going to play today. They won their game over Villanova in a thriller. They thought they had a winning shot at the buzzer, and review thought it was just a split second before it left the kid's hand that the light came on. But they ended up beating Villanova last night, 71-65, and they're going to play Providence tonight at Madison Square Garden for the Big East tournament.
And finally, let's talk about the Bucks and Sixers game the other night.
Yeah, Bucks playing last night. Now, they beat the 76ers 114-104, and Doc Rivers came back and said, you know, I always looked at this as a trap game because they won 1-3 in their West Coast trip. And he said, and the 76ers are coming off a road win. It's like they want to go home, and we want to rest up. You know what? They came through, and they looked good. And, you know, even Brooke Lopez, the center, said, yeah, when we get Giannis and Damian Lillard going together, it's like a black hole of offense. These defenses that we play just get sucked into it. So they'll get some rest, and then they're going to play Sunday at noon at home against the Phoenix Suns. So that should be a good one.
Mike Clemens will do it again next Friday.
Thank you, Don. Have a good weekend.
All right, we're listening for those sports reports with Mike Clemens here at WRJN Radio. At 7:58, have a great weekend. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here all week long. Got another full week of guests coming up for you. Just keep it right here. Civic Media Radio, hometown radio, refresh WRJN.